In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. I want to share with you a story today about a priest monk named Father Arseny. Now, many of you may be familiar about Father Arseny. There's a book titled after him, and he was a priest monk who lived during the time of communist Soviet Union Russia. And he, along with countless Orthodox Christians at the time, was subject to cruel and inhuman suffering and tortures due to these Soviet concentration camps. I would highly recommend and encourage all of you to find the book of Father Arseny and read his incredibly moving accounts of faith during these times of persecution. But one of the stories he recounts was when he fell sick with pneumonia, which would of course happen to many of the prisoners who were starving and working in sub-zero temperatures at this time. And because he was already old and frail, the camp felt no need to give him any medicine or treatment, as they figured it would only be a waste for this old man. Father Arseny grew sicker and sicker and developed a very severe fever and fell very ill. Surrounded by what few friends he had in the Gulag camp at the time, laying on his assumed deathbed, the pain grew worse and worse, and then suddenly the pain left him. He felt fine. Father Arseny rose up out of his bed. He walked to the other side of the room. And when he looked back, he saw his friends still around his bed. And when he looked closer, he saw his own body still laying there. He had died a physical death. And as Father Arseny saw this, he prayed, and he started looking around at the people in this concentration camp. And he noticed that he could not only see their bodies, but he also had a vision of their souls. And within their souls, he could visibly see their faith in God within them, shown as a fire within their hearts. And when he looked around, he saw that some people had these great flaming torches. Some had small flames. Others had a mere flicker or a spark in their hearts. From here, during this out-of-body experience, Father Arseny was able to walk outside the camp, and he ended up in his old home village. And of course, the first thing he did was he went to his church, which had been run down by the communists, icons torn and marked over, items taken or broken from the church, windows shattered. But when he walked in now, everything was perfectly restored again. He began to pray to the Mother of God, and she spoke to him to tell him that his time had not yet come. But this was given to him as an opportunity to see the flames of faith within those around him, so he could better see his mission in the world, that he was called to fan the flames in their hearts into stronger and stronger fires. We all have that flame within us. In fact, everyone we know has that flame within their hearts. That is a flame, a fire given by God. Some people may only have a flicker or a little spark, but that is where we are called to come in, to strengthen that spark by fanning it, strengthening it with our own flame. In the Gospel of John, Jesus clearly states, "I am the light of the world." Yet here in today's Gospel from Matthew, we hear him say to us, "You are the light of the world." Well, the simple fact we can see from this correlation is that we are called to be Christ. The light of Christ illumines all, and we are called to be that light. As disciples, by our proclamation of Jesus, we bring light to a world that would otherwise languish in darkness. For Jesus is the only light the world truly knows. After all, we are the church, and the church is the body of Christ. So, of course, we are that light of the world, that city set upon a hill that cannot be hid, that light that shines in the darkness, guiding all weary travelers to safety within its walls. But just as it would be foolish to light a lamp and then cover it up, so too our function as disciples is to shine to the whole world, illuminating all and guiding them home. Therefore, we must openly let our light shine before all, fearlessly living as open disciples of Jesus. Only then can the world see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. But we don't come here to church in order to let our light shine. We come here to receive the light of Christ and further strengthen our resolve to let that light shine throughout the world. After all, we are called to be the light of the world, not the light of the church. There is no such thing as a secret disciple. For either the secrecy destroys the discipleship, or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. One's Christianity should be perfectly visible to all at all times. This next week, I'll be joining about 10 or 11 of our young people from this parish to our Metropolis summer camp at St. Nicholas Ranch. And one of the little things I always like to talk to the kids about is the beautiful night sky that we are blessed to see up at the ranch. When the moon is small, the stars shine like nothing you've ever seen. When the moon is full, the moonlight shines throughout the entire valley, lighting up the mountains around us. But what I tell the kids is something simple, and I've said this to you before, that moonlight isn't real, or rather that the moon doesn't shine its own light. But the moon is only a reflection of the light of the sun. And a full moon is when the moon is perfectly positioned to receive fully the light of the sun and beam it back to the earth in the brightest way it can. And so too, we are called to be like the moon. Position our lives in such a way that we are not obstructed by anything, that we are not covered by anything, but align our lives and our hearts to receive the light of Christ completely, so that we too can shine throughout the world, not for our own glory, but so that the world can glorify God, our Father, who is in heaven. When that light is within us, not only does it withstand the darkness, not only does it shine through the darkness, but it irreversibly transforms the darkness. Ogmandino once said, "I love the light because it shows me the way, yet I will endure the darkness because it shows me the stars." The light and love of Christ is a transformative light. And thus I will close with a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, if you'll allow me, well known as his priest prayer. "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, the truth. Where there is doubt, the faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine maker, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen."